Important notice. All the information and content of the podcasts is not intended to be and should not be considered a substitute for medical or other professional advice. The answers delivered are of general nature and based on average experience with patients. The content might not be applicable and or suitable for all patients. Any treatment decisions are a matter for the individual clinician and should not be based exclusively on the content of these podcasts. I hope you enjoy them.
Question I've been asked to address is, I'm at the age where I should transfer from the paediatric to the adult IBD clinic. What is important during this transition? This is a great question, and maybe one of the most important ones in paediatric IBD practice. While we paediatric gastroenterologists are usually privileged to be able to go on our patient's IBD journey from the very beginning, there's also an inevitability that we'll have to pass their care on to adult colleagues for the larger part of their life with the condition. This handover of care is what we call transition and is a hugely important part of both paediatric and adult IBD practice. It's fair to say that transition, like pretty much everything else, has been negatively impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, but this is perhaps also a good time to talk about what good transition should look like. Perhaps the most important data supporting the relevance of transition comes from paediatric liver transplant colleagues, who have shown that medication compliance and rates of rejection and graft loss are all significantly worsened in adolescence and during young adulthood. Data supporting exactly how structured transition impacts on these sorts of outcomes, though, is harder to identify and is a pressing need for our community, particularly within IBD, as we look to resource more involved transition processes for our patients. Van Rienen and colleagues presented an excellent topical review on transition in JCC in 2017 that focused on increasing disease knowledge, improving self-management skills, and empowering the patient whilst effectively reducing the prominence of the parent in the therapeutic relationship. All of this takes time though and can't be done in a single clinic. It's helpful to have a named professional transition coordinator to oversee an individual's journey and also to have shared clinics between paediatric and adult gastroenterology during this handover process. Our own approach in Glasgow involves three stages. T1, where we encourage the patient to come into the clinic room on their own before being joined later by their parents. This is supported by nurse-led education on the transition journey. T2, where we see the patient jointly with both the adult and paediatric MDT, but in the familiar paediatric setting. This usually involves adult and paediatric consultant and adult and paediatric nurse. Again, the patient comes in first and the parent joins later. We try to summarise the patient's clinical journey by letter ahead of this clinic, and this can be a fairly laborious and challenging task for our more complex patients, often running to many pages of typed content. This might be something that electronic notes can help with in the future, allowing auto-summaries of pertinent episodes rather than summarising commentaries. Anyway, T2 allows an opportunity to set an agenda of what needs to happen before the final transition clinic. Do we repeat an MRI small bowel, or check infliximab levels again, etc. T3 is our final handover, which mirrors T2 but takes place in the adult setting. If all has gone well, the clinical element has been streamlined by the discussions and plans from T2, the adult team know what medical background the patient has, and the family have some familiarity with the new team too. After T3, the patient is in adult follow-up. This is only one model, and there are others, including shared young adult clinics which provide continuous support from both paediatric and adult gastroenterology over a number of years. The challenges of coronavirus, particularly in social distancing, and the emergence of video conferencing clinics has meant that some rapid innovations in this sphere of practice have happened. We've actually tended to run our T2 clinic virtually and then tried to continue T3 face-to-face as one example of this. It's not yet clear how this evolution will change future transition, but the core principles of a shared adult and paediatric input to the clinic, information sharing and management planning around the process of transition, and patient education and empowerment, all importantly, take centre stage within transition. And it's important that we take time over this process. Transition is such a fundamental part of our patient's IBD journey that it warrants appropriate time and energy. If it's done well, the hopes are that ongoing IBD care will be seamless and that we can improve the outcomes and experience of our patients.